unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth.
Is so formidable, even when 100,000 myriad kalpas, now we can see and hear, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Amidst the Buddha, amidst the Dharma, amidst the Sangha. I remember times when many years ago when one of the monks would start to look down and express it in words. We'd be dwelling on something in a way that in which they were discouraging themselves. And if this was done in her master's presence, she would say, so-and-so, you must not think like that. Or you mustn't think like that. And in a gentle way, she would, as it were, kind of putting her hand up and just blocking that line of thought. She wasn't saying you can't think like that. Of course we can. And nothing can stop us going down any particular track of thought we wish to go down. Usually, I think pretty well always, the thing that was being said was true enough. The problem is the person wasn't just allowing it to rise and pass. The person was holding on to something that was causing them to look down. Now you only have to listen to or look at the news, radio or television, the newspaper. Look at all the stories which show these confused, tangled knots of problems. And sometimes, not infrequently, these stories of human suffering in wars and famines and natural disasters, under suffering under repressive and brutal political and military administrations. You know, it goes on and on. Illness, disease. We very easily forget to stop and consider that this is the way it's always been. That it's the nature of our psychophysical existence, the existence of our mind and body, that it's subject to all kinds of conditions that can snuff it out. It's subject to pain and suffering. The most recent little chapter that I put on my How to Grow a Lotus Blossom website is entitled The Eyes of the Spirit. And in that I talk about faith as being the eyes of the spirit. And I talk about looking up rather than down as being intrinsic to faith. When we get tangled up in concern about external things, the woes of the world, which are ongoing and will always be ongoing. It's that nature of samsara. We don't get tangled up in it. We literally talk ourselves, think ourselves into looking down. And there's nothing so self-confirming as a downward-looking point of view. You look down, you deliberately look down, you deliberately go with a negative point of view, and you make bad things happen to you, which then makes you look down more. The most essential point in spiritual training, I mean in any religion, not just in Buddhism, the most essential point in spiritual training, one has to look up spiritually. That's the springboard everything else takes off from. It's why so many people cannot keep a meditation practice going. The pain of looking down, the habitual looking down, hits you when you sit down and look at that wall. The deep grief of it. The fear. Yet to look up and to do meditation, truly, to open our hearts to our true nature, to open our minds to our true nature, to take refuge in the stillness of our own Buddha nature and let go of external concerns, external worries. That is the way to find peace, regardless of what is happening around us. No one can, with their own personal will, remake the world. With our own personal will, we can do something about ourselves. And in so doing, if we do something about ourselves in a really positive direction, we improve the world. As I've so often pointed out, we improve it far more than we know. For to truly train and to allow the deep spiritual need within us to become enlightened through that training is to generate incomprehensible merit. And that merit can be used to benefit the world in ways we can't even imagine. And long, long after our lifetime. This is why there is Buddhism. Because other people have done this. What we call Buddhism is this stream of merit. It's not really an ism. It's a stream of shared merit that we are fortunate enough to join in with. When we ourselves do what the Buddha and the ancestors did. This won't ever make samsara not be samsara. There's nothing wrong with the world as it is. Would we do the training that we do if we were not in the world that we are in? Would we ever learn the difference between looking up and looking down unless we lived in a world which presented us with situations in which for our very spiritual survival we have to learn the difference? Do you see what I'm saying? This world that we live in, just as it is, not touched up, not altered in any way whatsoever, is a perfect exercise room for the Buddhist trainee. It constantly presents us with the choice. Will you despair? Will you look up? Will you take external things to be all there is to life? Will you turn within and find your true, enduring, eternal refuge? Will you identify your life, your true life, with this transitory body and mind, with your thoughts and your feelings, your perceptions, your consciousness, your body? Will you think that's all there is to life? Will you go on thinking that? Or will you find your Buddha nature, your true self? These are not urgent questions to someone in a heaven. These are urgent questions to someone who's suffering and is looking for the true cessation of suffering. Don't be suckered by external things. Don't be suckered by the woes of the world. They're not the true reality. There's more to life than that. If you look with the eyes of a Buddha, you'll see the heart of a Buddha in the world around you. If you look with the eyes of confusion and despair, you'll see unending proof that confusion and despair are justified. It depends entirely on the eyes we look with.